Ladies and gentlemen, please let me introduce Distorted Views, Tim Henson.
Oh, thank you so much, Corey. That's very nice of you. You know, over the years here on Distorted View, I've played countless hours worth of gay scat, animal abuse, elderly abuse, domestic abuse, porno bloopers, and really just showcase the worst humanity has to offer. But it hasn't all been hilarious comedy. I'm also known for my hard-hitting interviews with celebrities, fucktards, fuckrities, and celebutards. While I generally dislike having to speak to other people, and I would much rather keep myself holed up in my rat feces infested bedroom where I can jerk off and record my beloved podcast occasionally at the same time, once in a while, I'll actually have to interact with another human being. Today on Distorted View, we take a look back at some of my favorite interviews from the past 7+ years of audio stupidity. First up, one of my all-time favorite utards, the Fat Man. I originally introduced the world to his supreme fatness on July 20th, 2007. 2 years later, I got to interview Chris, tipping the scales at 400 pounds. The Fat Man would post videos on YouTube of himself eating great quantities of food, like, you know, 7 pot pies. Or 3 pizzas and 7 2-liters of Mountain Dew. He's really a ridiculous man. He's so close to death. He has diabetes and all sorts of mental problems. As a matter of fact, here is the very first time I talked about Chris, the Fat Man, on Distorted View from July 20th, 2007.
It's video of just a big, huge fat man who is quite possibly retarded. Not quite sure, but by the sound of his voice, yeah, there's something going on with him mentally. But he's always shirtless. He is enormous. In all of his videos, he's just eating shit. Like, cans of soup. Straight from the can! He, like, drinks 5 cans of soup, and the noodles are all on his naked chest because he's a slob. He calls himself Supreme Fatness. Here's a little bit of the Fat Man.
Hello, I am Fat Man. And I'm going to give you a video tour of my supreme fatness.
Oh, wonderful.
Here's the full view of my supreme fatness. You can see how the fat just rolls off me.
And I realize this is more of a visual thing, but I want you to hear his voice and how he describes his fatness before you actually watch it.
Here's a close-up shot of my breath.
You get the idea there. From April 9th, 2009, here is my interview with the Fat Man.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm kind of mental.
Okay. Seriously, is there something wrong with you mentally?
Yeah, I have schizoaffective disorder.
What is
that? If you look at my webpage, you can see that Dan Jens is my case manager and Dr. McKay is my psychiatrist.
All right. Shout out to the psychiatrist. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Why do you post those videos on YouTube? Like, what, are you just doing it for fun, or?
I want people to recognize me. You know, if I die, I want people to know that Fat Man existed.
Well, you're doing a good job. do you consider yourself, like, are you trying to gain as much weight as possible?
Not really. I just get emotional when I eat, you know, and I thought I'd record it to be funny.
Okay, sure. What is your favorite food that you've eaten so far on video?
On video? I don't know. I did so many videos, I can't remember everything I ate.
Now, you've eaten, a block of cheese. Or you tried to eat a whole block of cheese. Didn't quite do it. Now, during the video, you were gagging, almost. Was it just because, was the cheese just too much for you?
Well, I had eaten a bunch of stuff before that. Like, I did, like, 4 videos that night.
Of course,
eaten, like,
sure.
All the other shit before that, you know?
Uh-huh. So, how old are you?
27.
27, okay. When did you start posting videos on YouTube?
Like, back in May.
Okay. And how many have you posted?
25.
Okay. And
there's not going to be any more, though. I've done the last one.
You're done? Fat Man is done?
I'm pretty sure, unless I get, like, in the mood again. I'm pretty sure I'm done.
Why?
Well, I mean, I have over 2 hours of video, you know? I mean,
there's only so much food you can eat, I mean.
Well, the site was designed to show off how fat I am, and I think I've done that pretty good, I mean.
Have you noticed, like, from when you started doing the videos to this last one that you've done, has there been a lot of weight gain, or have you remained pretty much the same?
I've been the same for about 7 or 8 years now.
And how much do you weigh?
Like, around 395.
395, okay, so you're so close to 400.
Yeah.
Come on, just a couple more videos. What do you do? Do you have a job?
Not really. I just hang around my parents' house, you know?
Right, because you're... What is it that you have? Schizoglycemic?
Schizoaffective.
Schizoaffective. Okay, and what does that mean?
Well, I guess it's like a cross between schizophrenia and like bipolar disorder.
Okay, so like... How does that manifest itself? Like, do you do any weird things? Like, I don't know, shit in your pants or something?
Well, I've been psychotic before and stuff, and I was actually locked up in the mental hospital.
Nice. okay. So, are you on like lots of meds to sort of calm you down?
Yeah, one.
We weren't sure. We knew something was wrong with you. But you never really talked about it on your videos. We weren't sure if you were retarded or if you just had mental problems or you just really, really enjoyed food. So I'm glad we got to the bottom of it. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is certifiably insane. It explains all of the videos.
I guess I just want to say goodbye and have a nice day.
How come you didn't say folks at all? Usually your videos are full of... folks, and how you doing, folks? And I'm gonna show you something, folks.
Yeah,
I was kind of disappointed,
but I say goodbye and have a nice day a lot.
That's true. I really love that interview for two reasons. One, we discover that he is in fact insane. He has schizo something disorder, and he's on all sorts of medication for that. And it was great because the interview was conducted right as Fat Man was retiring for the first time. He has come out of retirement and went back into retirement about 10 to 20 more times since then. I believe as of right now, as of the recording of this program, he is back producing more stupidity on YouTube. My next interview is with a real live tranny. Back in 2006, I devoted pretty much an entire episode to the topic of trannies. As a matter of fact, I warned you all at the top of the podcast that you were about to enter the tranny zone.
Greetings. Do not adjust your MP3 listening apparatus. For the next 20 minutes, Distorted View is stuck
in the tranny zone.
Yeah, in this episode, I talked to DV listener and real life tranny, Sophia. She was a great sport and answered all of my inappropriate questions. Take a listen. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome slave girl Sophia to Distorted View Daily.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh, can you hear me?
Yeah, excellent. This is great. Since this is the tranny zone, I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to interview you. So me and my audience can learn a little bit more about transsexuals. All right, first question. When guys see you, like in public and stuff, do they are you passable?
Uh-huh. For the most part, I think I am.
Are you a lesbian or straight?
I'm a pansexual.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
That means I'm attracted to both, to men, women, transsexuals. Really, I don't think about gender when I look at meet people.
Okay,
like that.
So you'll date just about anything that moves. You're my kind of girl.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get right to the meat and potatoes of this interview. What have you stuck up in your vagina?
In my vagina?
Yeah.
Thus far I've stuck up my stents, a couple of dildos,
fruit? Any vegetables?
No, not yet.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I've got a project for you to work on. I know you love me. Everyone does. I'm going to send you a picture of my face, all right?
Okay.
I want you to print it out on your printer, all right? Cut it out, just my face, stick it on cardboard or something, and then and then, you know, stick it to a butter knife or something. It doesn't have to be a butter knife. And I want you to shove my face in your vagina, if you could do that for me. And I want you to take pictures of it or a video, because I know you can do video on your site, right?
Uh-huh.
Would you do that?
Sure.
Excellent. And maybe you could write distorted view above your vagina or something. And you could say, this is when I fucked Tim Henson's face.
I'll do that.
Excellent. I can't wait. I'm going to hold you to that. Maybe I'll send you like some distorted view CDs or a bumper sticker or something.
Okay.
Excellent. That'll be great. My fans will love it. All three of them. Now, your website is Slave Girl, Slave Girl Sophia. What does that mean? Are you a slave girl? And what does being a slave girl mean?
Well, I'm a sexual submissive. And it also, like, being a slave girl would involve actually being somebody's slave to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also into stuff like age play and pet play. So,
what is age play? Is that like pretending you're a baby?
Yeah. Or like pretending you're
you must
kid.
Totally get off on Sextastic Tuesdays, because that's what I do. So when I say
yep.
I either I'm going to get you off or creep you out, you're one of the few people that I'm actually getting off.
Oh, yeah. I usually dilate to your show every day.
Oh, that's not right. Let's not go there. So when you decided that you, you know, were going to go ahead and get yourself a brand new vagina. what is the procedure? Don't you have to go to like some sort of mental evaluation or see a psychiatrist or something?
The trick is to not tell them anything. Seriously.
So you just don't say anything. They ask you a question and you're just silent.
Yeah. I went to, because to get on hormones, you have to go through a lot of procedure as well. And I did that one, legitimately told the truth. And it took 6 months to get onto hormones when it really shouldn't have taken that long.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the lady was, felt like she was guarding her gender from, to make sure I was really, in, you know, really a transsexual, and she had to guard that like it was something sacred.
That's
so. For the actual letters for the sex change, I told those therapists nothing about any previous experience with therapy. Didn't tell them anything about like me being depressed or anything like that. I said, nope, I just need a vagina, that's it. Give me my letters.
So how many operations do you have to have? Is it just one operation and they
the one.
And how long did it take?
I think it took about 4 hours or something like that.
Alright. And do they put you under or they just numb you?
They put you under for
Yeah,
that
that's
one.
Probably a good idea. And so are you
an orky. If you get an orky, which is just removing the testicles, they'll do that one with you awake. One of my friends had that done.
Wow. Why would you do if you just want to remove your testicles, why would you want that?
Because it's of the cost.
Oh, okay.
It would be the only reason.
There's a helpful hint for all you would-be trannies. If you need an operation on a budget, just get your nuts cut off. Thank you very much, Sophia. Next up, Roy Killer War. According to Freakypedia, Distorted View's official wiki, Roy Killer War is YouTube's biggest careless fairy. He is a YouTube video blogger and was first introduced to the show back in February 18th of 2008. He's a major drug addict and nymphomaniac who whores himself for money. Naturally, he and I get along great together. He used to tell his careless fairy tales to the whole YouTube community. That's where I found him, started playing him on the show. He closed his account to discourage stalkers, though. It's sometimes hard to hear what he was saying because he always has fabulous music playing in the background, Cher, Madonna, or something. He called into the voicemail line once to wish me a happy birthday. On June 10th, 2009, I finally got a chance to talk to Roy Killer War directly. And here's what happened.
I'm fabulous. How are you?
What drugs are you on right now?
Do I really have to name them?
Yeah, let's go through the list.
Should we start from A to Z?
Yeah, it's probably going to take a while, huh? I'm going to get comfortable. why did you delete your YouTube account?
I deleted my YouTube. I didn't delete. I just deleted all the videos, and mainly because I was advertising a lot on Craigslist.
What were you advertising? Were you like lawnmowers or?
My ass.
Of course, yes.
What do you think? The thing was, all these people started, like, serial killers started, like, going and stabbing and killing people. And there was an ABC reporter that got stabbed 47 times because he, like, hooked up with this kid. And, you know, there was just a whole bunch of drama with Craigslist. And I'm like, well, the last thing I need them to do is do a search on me, which I call myself Roy Killer War. And they're going to be like, well, fuck, I don't need that investigation going on. And then I have one of my boyfriends that also is doing this stalking, harassing thing with me. I had to file a police report against him because it's gone insane. Like, just following me, bruising me up. I'm not Rihanna, and you're no Chris Brown, all right? So you gotta, like, back off.
Is this the guy that you talked about on your video with the coffee, and he...
That's him.
That's him?
That's him.
That's one of my favorite stories that you ever told when you were playing the voicemail messages.
Why the fuck you must, you know? Buy me coffee. You know, he refused, and I was like, yeah, bitch, well, I'm gonna leave you here, and I feel something squishy in my butt, and I'm going to go home and, like, wipe it up. So I did. I was like, motherfucker, fuck me when I pass out, because I'll pass out. I told you that. I pass out, and usually by the end of when I wake up, three or four guys have already had their way with me. And then, you know, someone's happy, but my underwears are pretty much gone to shreds.
How often do you pass out?
I don't know if I necessarily pass out. I pass out and I black out. I had a client the other day, and this is from a news site, which would not let me put killer on my thing. And I'm like, but that's how people know how to find me, you know? And they're like, well, we can't, we're sorry. I have him on my iCal. I have my I know, one serial killer ruins it for all the hookers and the fucking everywhere, you know? So I go to, apparently I went to his place. I don't remember what I did. I know I got paid. But I don't know. I don't know what I did. I know he was I remember him jamming his fucking cock down my throat so hard that I was like, oh my God, this guy is just out for fucking... to get his, I don't know, pain.
How much do you charge?
My hourly rate is $250.
Do you have different tiers of pricing? Like if I want oral or anal, or is it just like anything goes?
You know, first of all, you know, I know what I look like. You know, I know that I'm hot and I work out and I, you know, I take care of myself and I'm going to make sure when I go in there, I'm going to be whatever fantasy that you want me to be. Right, I'm not going to be some fucking streetwalker who's going to charge you $20 and probably, you know, just hasn't washed his ass out in fucking months. So it's all about that type of quality. But most of the clients that are willing to pay the $250 are, you know, they want company. Some of them will just enjoy blowjobs. Some of them will just eat my ass out for days. Sometimes I'll eat their asses out.
I mean, that must be great when a guy just wants to eat your ass out, because you just basically have to just, you know, bend over and, you know, read a magazine, right? That's easy money.
That's what I say, you know? And yeah. Then, you know, I'm like, hell, yeah, I could do this for $250, bend over. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the best client that I had that ate my ass out, he was hot, fucking just a daddy type, and it was Thanksgiving evening. He just had his dinner, and I guess I was his extra turkey stuffing, whatever. He called me over, and he bent me over in his bed, and all he wanted to do was just eat out. Yes, I guess it's just like everyone has like their fantasy. They're like, you know, either I just want to eat out your ass, or you just suck my cock. He wanted my Betty Crocker. No, and so, you know, and while he's eating my ass, I jacked off and I came. And, you know, I'm like, oh, can I shower when I leave, you know? Thank you.
Now, when you left a voicemail for me, you mentioned that you were with a guy and he was really large and he pulled out some peanut butter. Now, if your client gets a bad case of shit dick from you, do you like give him a discount, or is it still like the $250?
Oh, hell no, honey. It's still the 250.
It comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory, honey.
Yeah.
You know? You're asking for trouble, first of all, if you're going up that hole.
Yeah, exactly.
And then let me tell you what. This guy has such a big fucking dick. He pounded my ass doggy style for I don't know how long until he tells me, oh, well, I can't come while I'm fucking. I'm like thinking in my head, all right, so you sodomized me in a very painful way to do I don't know what, to pull out so that you can jack off while I lick your nipple and then you can come. Did you get any satisfaction out of, you know, tearing my uterus out of my fucking ass? It was really like kind
I mean,
of.
If the only way you can come is by jerking off, I mean, what's the point? I mean, what's the point of sex then? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. Why sodomize me if you're not going to be able
right, just
to
jerk
come?
Off.
I guess it was, and like, you know, I gave him head and
sure,
I licked
sure.
his balls.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was very clean and very, very, very good looking. And he, you know, he had a nice body and everything, but. He just had, did the, I guess maybe he felt he had to get his 250 worth and leave that memorable moment in my, so I guess in return I left him a little puddle on his bed, you know?
Yeah, I know. all right, so, like, normally, like, when someone hires you or whatever, you know, it's hand jobs, oral, anal, all that sort of stuff. Have you gotten any, like, weird requests from people?
The weirdest request, oh, I've gotten a few, but the weirdest one that comes to mind was this one guy that wanted me to just walk around his apartment and organize it in my underwear. And I'm like, okay, I could do that, you know. But then, of course, he started pulling out all these, like, beating materials, like... sadomasochistic whips and shit, and it's like it started turning into this like if you're not organizing this right, I'm gonna hit you. And I'm like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And it was in a warehouse in bumfuck Egypt, and I'm like, I'm not gonna get out of here alive. And I'm like thinking, fuck, I'm gonna have to like escape with just like my underwear on. And he left me, like, bruised, like, for days.
I mean, was he finished with you, or did you just escape? Did you just run away at some point?
It was actually, like, his apartment was on top of this warehouse that was, like, a gym for, like, racquetball and all this other bullshit. And someone from downstairs called him to ask him a question. And at that time, I called my friend and said, call me in like 30 minutes and do not stop calling me, and I'm just going to make up a story. So I told him, I'm like, it's an emergency. My friend knows that I'm here and I really have to go see him. And he's like, oh, whatever. I'm like, really, really? So he was kind of upset. He did pay me.
Of course.
But I did have to walk to the train station. I was like, fuck you, yeah. So, you know.
Now, in addition to... your, I don't know what you want to call it, work, prostitution, hooking, whatever. You have not one, but like four different what you consider boyfriends, right?
Yes, and that's so tough. Like I sent you that email. I'm like, I never realized that I'm just like a sex addict, nymphomaniac. Like I literally go from all four of these guys and try to like satisfy them. In a day's basis, and then also try and turn a few tricks, and I'm like, oh my god, like I'm a really fucking horn dog.
Your dick must be raw.
Well, no, my throat is raw because most of them like just getting sucked off, but that's what I like doing. That's my thing.
Oh, that's your specialty. Like on your business card, that's what you would put on there. Expert cocksucker.
Yes, you know, the best. Right, 5 stars.
All right, so I got a couple questions here from listeners. I asked them to send in questions. Cheryl Prolapse writes in. She wants to know if you would do scat or piss, and what are your favorite fetishes?
Okay, piss, someone can do that on me. Scat, I'm going to probably charge a lot more, but I did have a client that wanted me to shit in his – he had a rimming chair – he said $500 to shit in his mouth, and then $500 extra to make him to force him to eat it. I'm like, yeah, well, I got a shit anyway, so I might as well get paid for it. You know, he wouldn't answer his door. He was so high on crystal meth. You know, so it was like, that was a waste of my time. But yeah, I would do it, you know. I mean, I've had guys, like, pee over my head and pee in my mouth over toilets. I'm like, I don't want to get pee all over your floor, so let me put my head over the toilet, and you can pee on my mouth and my face, and you know, and I'll spit it out, but I'm not going to drink it.
Yeah. You know, I always wonder, like, people that are into scat, I haven't had a chance to interview someone who's into it, but I'm curious to know, like, what kind of shit they consider to be the best. Because, you know, like, there are, like, the tiny little nuggets, there's the mushy, and then there's, like, the explosive diarrhea. I just wonder what they, like, what turns them on the most. I would assume, like, the mushy kind
well,
of can really...
Yeah, the mushy. No, he sent me pictures of him eating it.
And it was mushy.
And, He likes the mushy, and more the better, and it's that, and he likes to take pictures of himself with it, like, all caked up around his mouth, because he thinks it's attractive.
Right.
Fetishes, for me, I love balls, I love testicles, I love cock, I love ass, I love feet.
Oh, real feet? I could get behind all that other stuff, I guess, but feet are so disgusting.
You don't like feet?
People are on their feet all day long, right? That's like 150 plus pounds every day of pressure being applied to their feet. It's stinky, it's disgusting, people get weird funguses on that. What do you do with it? What do you, suck their toes and shit?
No, I massage them, I kiss them, I make them better. I'm like, these are the babies that keep you up all day. These are what keep my man going. And especially if they're really big, big and beautiful, I could just... Oh, and you know what else?
What?
Does it for me? Gingers. Gingers. Oh, a big red bush.
The bigger the bush, the better when it comes to gingers, okay?
Oh, yes. And I want, like, purple veins all over the cock. Oh, yeah.
I never realized how long that interview went for. You know, Sideshow Freaks got an extended interview, and I guess you guys heard some of it right now. The interview goes on for, like, 30 minutes, and it really is one of my favorite. I think it's got to be my favorite interview I've ever done. I love Roy Killer War, probably because he's just so honest and disgusting and gay about everything. So, yeah, if you want to check out the full interview with Roy Killer War, it's a Sideshow exclusive. Sign up for the Sideshow right now, superfreaksideshow.com. You were wondering when I was going to plug it, right? All right, you know, one of the greatest U-tards of all time discovered by DV has to be Raymond 14. I, for years, have been trying to get a hold of him for an interview. It finally happened. Last July, as a matter of fact, July 28th, 2011, Raymond 14, now Raymond 20, came on Distorted View, and it was an eye-opening slash incomprehensible clusterfuck. Not only is the audio great, but if you were Sideshow Freaks, you actually got to see Raymond 14 on video freaking the fuck out. Here now is just a few minutes from my encounter with a legend. Raymond 14. Finally, I get to talk to you. You are a hard person. Oh my god, you're freaking out. What's going on?
Nothing.
You seem very excited on camera.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, what do you think of this? I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time, and now I've got you. What do you think about all this? All these people leaving comments for you, telling you to do the interview and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Yeah? Are you excited? Are you pumped?
Yes.
Are we going to have fun?
Yeah.
All right. First things first. I need to know, what is Harpo Jarvi? This has been bugging me a long time. You've done videos on Harpo Jarvi. I don't know what it is. Explain Harpo Jarvi for me.
It means... It was started in 2009 for means hooray.
That's it. It just means hooray. Where does the fish pillow come into play? Because I thought Harpo Jarvi was a pillow. No?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's... Yeah, it is.
It's a hooray! It's a hooray pillow.
Yeah.
Okay. How old are you, right, Raymond?
I'm 19.
19. And are you really an intern at IKEA?
Yes.
The IKEA in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
So.
Andrew Hawking.
Now, when did you start doing these videos on YouTube?
And I created my YouTube in August 24th, 2006.
Okay.
And that summer, I said, I want to go to Mom's place. And I went to Mom's place. I had my seventh grade graduation party, and then I went up to Mom's into the computer room, and then started YouTubing. I want to view videos and do videos seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then in August 24th, 2006, that's when my creativity branch was created. And I said, you know what? In early November, I said, you know what? Let's do a thing called. And I got this thing called. Like, are you ready? I figured out this in a blueprint in my head before I did it, and I said, this could actually work. This could actually sell.
And this is all part of the creativity branch.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't even know. Literally, I know that I would have came this far. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your creativity branch has grown over the years, it seems, because your videos just keep getting better and more incomprehensible. They're just fantastic.
Yeah.
So I asked you about Harpo Jarvi. There's some other things that you've said that I'm not quite sure. What is the Ray Dynasty?
It's like it was a story with my tie-dye pants.
Your what?
My tie-dye pants, and I said Ray Dynasty, and I said it's like the Ming Dynasty,
except with tie-dye pants.
Yeah.
Okay, it makes sense now. Now, when we were when I initially asked you about doing an interview, you were unsure. And you said that we were in a bit of a standoff dilemma.
Yeah, and now we're not.
Now we're not. We're past the dilemma. We're past the standoff.
Yeah, we are.
So I noticed in some of your videos, you have a friend that appeared in it. What happened to him?
Who?
I don't know. He was some weird looking dude. Some guy. I think he had long hair. Liked to smoke pot a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I mean Hunter.
Hunter. Yes, Hunter. What happened to Hunter?
Well, he has a job now.
At IKEA?
No, at Pizzeria.
Oh, okay. So he's too busy.
Yeah.
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
No.
Do you smoke any pot?
No.
You're very anti-drugs?
No, I'm actually pro-drugs.
Really?
I think the whole legalization thing, I think it's going well in this country.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about going well. I do find... doing drugs before watching your videos only heightens the experience.
Yep.
Yeah, right? So we know what standoff dilemma means. We kind of know what Ray Dynasty means. What is Bingish?
Bingish means ultimate supremacy. It's the fourth annual Bingish was in June, because that's when I declared I'm Bingish to the whole Raymond 14 National Union.
Mm-hmm. And those are your fans, right?
Yeah, and that's when I declared it to them after defeating Kent Jones.
The what? Who's Kent Jones?
A controversial wrestling fan, an extreme wrestling fan.
What about Ron Lewis? Is that another wrestler?
No, that's the Revolution that I'm in.
What is the
Revolution I'm in? I mean, the Ron Lewis Revolution.
But who is he? Is it a person?
Yeah, he was a person to help my well-being improvement in October of last year.
Is he a doctor?
I guess.
And do you talk to him?
No.
Okay, so he's not like a therapist.
No.
You don't have a therapist.
Not much.
Not much. We'll get back to that in a second. What is Rayaqua?
It's like a documentary that shows like how what life is and going through fail, like fail blog.
Okay. And finally, the last thing I wanted to ask you about are Robo Boots.
Robo Boots?
Yeah. Do you remember Robo Boots?
Yeah, Robo Boots is a an idea. It's dead.
It's a dead idea?
And I said it could be.
All right, I'll take that, sure.
Again, it goes on like that for 30 minutes. And you can hear the whole interview if you sign up for the sideshow. All right, one of the weirdest interviews I think I ever did was with the horse fucker. This is a guy who actually has sex with ponies. Yes, a listener knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy. You know how it goes. And this was the result.
Hello.
Hello, is this Pony?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Pony, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to me. How are you doing, man?
I'm good.
All right, now, before we get into why you are on the show here, why don't you talk to my listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
Well, I'm 18. I live in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
And probably find out that I have sex with horses.
Okay, well, we'll get right into that then. yes, Pony is a horse lover, right? Now, at what age did you realize that you were attracted to horses?
Well, it started about like a young age, like around 7 years old, and I didn't really like do anything with horses back then. I didn't do riding or anything, but whenever I saw them on a TV, like example, I got a little bit excited, I guess.
As a seven-year-old, you got excited seeing horses on the television.
Yeah, I mean, like they look pretty cool and stuff.
Okay, so at first it wasn't a sexual thing. You just said, "Oh, these horses look kind of cool. I'd like to spend some time around them."
Oh yeah.
And then later, you spent some time in them. So when did you first have a sexual experience with a horse?
Oh, that was about like a couple of years ago. When I was like 16 years old, I got out of school and I went right into like this horse college thing. And
a horse college?
To learn how to care for them. And that's where I started.
Now, let's go through this here. I want to hear about your first date with a horse, your first sexual encounter. What set the mood for me? What time of day was it? Was it in a burn? Did you go to a burn?
Oh, no, it was just in the stable, and it was around, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. And what type of horse was it? Like, what color was it? It was a female, right?
Yeah, it's a gray pony it was. I first looked out the stable door to see if anyone's around, and I, started lifting up its tail and, fingering it.
Were you smelling it? Like, did you sniff it? You know, like, guys, like, will sniff women's necks,
Yeah.
Did you smell the horse?
Well, I did, like, have a little sniff when I, like, started licking it up, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what exactly were you licking?
It's vagina.
Okay, and what does horse vagina taste like?
Well, after I got a piss or something, it kind of tastes like beer.
It has a beer taste to it.
Yeah, I guess you can say that, yeah.
Horse pussy is a bit hoppy.
What?
The hops and the barley and the...
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that all you did with the horse at that time? You just licked its pussy, or did you actually go further with it?
Oh, I didn't, go further until, a couple months after that.
Okay. And was it with the same horse again, or was it a different horse?
Yeah, it's the same one.
Okay. And then what did you do the second time?
Stuck my cock up its fucking vagina.
And how did the horse respond to that?
Well, she just looked at me and
what the fuck are you doing?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you stick your the horse has to realize it's not. I don't know. That's not a normal thing for the horse to experience, right?
Well, I did a little foreplay first,
get her in the mood.
Yeah. It's in the mood.
How do you get a horse in the mood?
Well, just like, you know, turning on a little bit, rubbing it in a little bit, you know?
Oh, okay, gotcha. And so did you come inside the horse?
Oh, yeah. After about, like, 3 minutes, it's fucking awesome it was.
Oh, wow. So how many times... Okay, so that was the second time. First time you just, you gave it oral. Second time you actually went ahead and, you know, fucked it to completion. How many times have you actually been with horses now since the age of 16?
Oh, about three, I guess. Not that much. I haven't been doing much these days.
Is it just female horses you're attracted to, or, like, any horse?
Any horse, but I prefer the mares the most.
Okay. Why is that? Just because of the pussy?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
have you ever been with a male horse?
Yeah, I haven't been around any stallions, only geldings. You know what that is, don't you?
They've been... castrated.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't really do anything with them. Do they get excited, or?
Well, I don't know if they can actually feel anything, like, you know, get excited or anything, but, you know, it's like licking his sheath and stuff.
And, okay, so we've determined that horse pussy tastes like strong beer. What does horse cock taste like?
Oh, it tastes like human cock, it does.
Human cock. So have you tasted? Yeah. Have you tasted human cock?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay. you don't care what goes in your mouth, do you?
No, I'll have it all. I will.
So we'll get back to horses in a second. I'm just kind of curious. Have you ever? I mean, you've apparently sucked cock. Have you been with women, like human women?
I'm working on it right now. Yeah, yeah.
So you decided to start with horses, then move to guys, and then you're going to end up with hopefully a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean,
I lost my virginity at 9 years old. Actually,
to who?
My cousin.
Was it a boy cousin?
Yeah.
So do you think maybe that has something to do with the fact that you like horses? Because you know, you basically, I don't know, were raped.
It's just a bit of homosexual experiment.
Oh, okay. How old was your cousin at the time? Was it like a young...
Oh, he's about 13 years old.
Oh, okay.
So he knew what he was doing. He went with it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Do you want to be with humans, or are you pretty much... You just sort of want to stick with horses?
Well, I'll try and alternate between the two.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Switch it up.
Yeah.
You've sucked a horse cock. You've never gotten fucked by a horse, right?
One day I will, yeah.
That's something else you want to experience.
Oh, yeah.
You're just open to anything.
Yeah, I'll try anything.
Wow. Now, what I found interesting is we were emailing back and forth for a while, and you said that you kind of like to woo the horses, sort of take them on a date, if you will, before you actually...
Oh, yeah.
Start to, you know, fuck them. Kind of like, you know, you would go on a date with a normal woman. What is a horse date? What do you do on a horse date?
Well, it's just any activity, really. Like grooming them or riding them. It's like bonding in this film.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. And that, does that, like, build up trust or something?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to read just a quote from an email that you you wrote me. This is where I believe you first mentioned that the pussy tastes like beer. It says, to this day, I've licked out a mare until my tongue was numb. Does your tongue become raw? Are their pussies rough?
No, like, the vaginas are like, kind of loose and sloppy inside, but it's just nice. But it's like a cold day it was. So.
Are there any other animals that you're, like, attracted to, or is it just pretty much just horses?
Just horses. Well, I did get my dog to lick my cock one time, but that was just a one-off.
But did it feel good? Did you like that?
Nah, I didn't like it, really.
No, you didn't? I mean,
dogs ain't my thing.
Did you, like, put peanut butter, or was it just, you know, you had your cock out and your dog walked up to you and started to lick it?
I just, like, had the dog under the sheets while I was naked and just, like, you know, like, grabbed his head and, like, shifted near my cock, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now, does anyone know about your particular fetish here?
Oh, well, I've told a couple of friends of mine, yeah.
Yeah, now, DB listener Nick was the one who got us in touch with one another. How do you know Nick?
Well, ages ago, I was friends with this guy called Horse. You know, like my name's Pony with a Q. His was like Horse with a Q. And Nick was one of his friends, and we just like got to know each other then.
Oh, I see. And Nick knows about, obviously knows about the fact that you like to play with horses. And what does he think about that? Does Nick mess around with animals?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't mind me doing it, though, I don't think.
He doesn't mind. Okay. Very good. Well, and you're over there in the UK, right?
Oh yeah.
Wow, just a fascinating story. I appreciate you coming on to the show. I have no idea what else to ask you. I feel like we covered a lot of information in a very short amount of time. Got to let this all sink in.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the only perverted thing I've done.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just continue on here then. What else have you done?
Yeah, you talk about me now.
Okay, yes.
Well, I've done it like a little bit of diapering.
Okay.
You know what that is?
Yeah, like infantilism thing, right? Where you put the diaper on and you shit yourself and piss yourself and all that sort of stuff. So are you into scat and piss, or is it just the baby thing that you're into?
I'm into a little bit of it. Yeah, I haven't done it in a while though.
So when you say you're into it a little bit, what does that mean?
Well, I'm not too fussed on it.
You don't mind shit on yourself, right? Would you eat it?
No, I'd never eat it.
Okay, so that's really where you draw the line.
Yeah.
All right, anything else you're into?
No, that's pretty much it, really, I guess.
Well, that's plenty, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Now, if you meet a girl, for instance, would you tell her about your horse... your love for the horse, or is that something that you would keep from her?
Oh, that's something I'd definitely keep until, like, we're probably married or something.
Really? I feel like maybe you should tell her before you get married, because that's a deal-breaker for a lot of
women. Yeah, I know. Although, I still haven't thought about her much, though. So.
Yeah, well, the trick is to find someone who's also into horses. Would you mind being, like, with a girl who liked to be fucked by horses? Would that be something that you could get into, or would you get jealous?
No, I get into her.
Yeah,
if she's like, you know, like great hard luck. No.
Have you seen that documentary that I play clips of on the show all the time, where there's the couple that are into horses?
Are they like obese or something?
Oh yeah, they're not attractive at all. No, they're misses.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
okay. So you'd like that type of relationship, just with someone attractive?
Yeah, it's someone attractive, and normal looking.
Fair enough. That's a tall order, though. When you're talking about horse fuckers, are you normal looking? Do you think?
Oh, again, like loads of girls always tell me I'm like cute looking stuff. Even boys.
Yeah, I always think that could be the reason why people turn to animals, because they're too hideous looking to find a a human partner. But that's not a problem for you, right? I mean, you're banging cousin.
I don't think so. I mean, I've never had sex with a woman before, but, you know, I'm working on it right now.
Right. But I don't understand. Like, if a lot of girls say that you're cute, why don't you, seal the deal? What's the problem?
I don't know. I'm just, like, a quiet, like, guy. He, like, doesn't really, like, say a lot.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe I can help you out. I know I've got a lot of UK listeners. If there's a girl out there who would like to bang Pony and doesn't mind the fact that he bangs ponies, get in touch with him or get in touch with me. I'll try to hook you up.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, no problem.
There you go. Just a little bit from the horse fucker. By the way, I should mention I did not receive one email from a woman who was interested in going on a date with this guy. So there you go. And finally, the last interview I wanted to play, I think is one of my most recent. I had this guy on because we were talking about glory holes on Distorted View. And I was wondering about the etiquette involved. Do you just shove your dick in there? Do you, touch his penis, tap it or something? I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to talk to this guy about glory holes. Turns out there was so much more to this guy. He's a horrible human being. He cuts holes in condoms. Just trying to get his cum up assholes. Take a listen to the creepy glory hole guy.
If I suddenly feel, and they haven't used their hands before, and I suddenly feel like the death grip, which is where this hand is suddenly around the base of my cock, that usually means they're about to line my cock up to their ass.
Is it hard to fuck through a glory hole?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
It's actually really easy, because think of it, you've got a hole lined up with a hole.
That's true.
So it's really like you're right on target. You see nothing but a hole through a hole, so you know exactly where it is. You know exactly how to do it.
Do any ass eating happen in glory holes, or is it mainly just cock sucking and fucking?
It's mainly just cock sucking and fucking.
Okay,
Teen guys do ass eating through holes if they're really, really wide and big, but most times at most places they're not that big.
Okay. Now you mentioned using a condom versus not. Is barebacking more prevalent in glory holes, or would you say that people are practicing safe sex in glory holes? I think I know the answer to this question.
Well, I would say that barebacking is more prevalent. I would say that sometimes people try to use condoms. Mm-hmm. So if you get the death grip, and then you get this what I call the pinch, mm-hmm. which is the pinch on the top tip of your cock when they start to roll the condom down.
Yeah.
If you get that, then you know, the death grip followed by the pinch, that means they're putting a condom on. But because you're doing everything by sensation, you can't see a damn thing.
Right.
So it's pretty much an interesting sensation to kind of have that happening to you without being able to see anything. But if you just get the death grip, it usually means they're going straight to, you know, the whole fucking with barebacking.
Right.
And then the other thing, quite frankly, is if someone puts a condom on me, I'll take it off and continue to fuck them.
So these guys think they're getting fucked with a condom on, but you pull the old switcheroo and fuck them bareback.
Well, honestly, if they're stupid enough to...
enough to suck your dick, they should know what's coming.
No, if they're not stupid, if they're stupid enough to back their hole up on at an adult bookstore and you know, not pay attention to what's going on back there. I mean, you can tell the difference between fucking bareback and fucking with a condom if you're a bottom. Mm-hmm. And the guys that I've done it to, they've known it. But you know, it's just like, you know, look, I'm there for a reason. I know what I'm doing.
Do you think that they're putting the condom on for your benefit? Like, oh, this guy, you know, if I don't care if I'm getting fucked bareback, but I'm going to put this condom on and see what he thinks of it. And if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't like it, then he'll take it off.
No, I think that they're doing it because they think they want it, but
they think they want safe sex. What they really want is a raw dick in their ass.
Exactly.
You're going to help them out. You're going to help them realize that. So based on everything that we talked about, it's safe to say that you are not a fan necessarily of the condoms. And as a matter of fact, you, in addition to this website that goes into glory hole etiquettes, you are also a part of a website that's a little more controversial. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I mean, I'm one of the co-founders of something called the Bareback Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And we're all over the world. We've got a little over 2,000 members. And we were formed actually earlier this year on Twitter by a group of us. And we're just saying to the world that people do it. It's out there. And so if you're going to do it, let's be responsible about it. Let's talk about it. Let's be honest and stop just demonizing it. Let's say that we're doing it and let's be honest about it. And let's say that it's a real option when it comes to having sex.
Now, I mean, there's some issues, I guess, with that. Like when you're getting sex in a glory hole, I mean, do you think the person that you're having sex should tell you up front if they're negative or positive or whatever? Or is it just, you know, look, we're just going to fuck bareback and whatever happens, happens?
Well, if you know, if you're that concerned about it, you shouldn't be at an adult bookstore.
Okay. And I mean, you must not be concerned about it then, right? Because you're at a bookstore. So, I mean, you're basically whatever happens, happens.
You know, I'm there to fuck. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm there to usually fuck an ass. So bareback. And so that's what I'm there to do. That's what I want to do. And there you have it.
Do you yourself get tested, or you just don't care at this point?
I get tested regularly. I know my status. I know what's going on with me. And when I have sex with partners who, you know, where we're having a discussion, I'm frank and honest with them and upfront about it.
About my status. So if you were to become positive because of, you know, barebacking or whatever, would you be devastated or would you not even really care that much?
Here's the thing is, you know, I think at some point in my life, and I don't know how other gay men are. I mean, you spend so much of your life. I spent the early part of my life just scared as fuck of this disease. And suddenly it became this thing that just so ravaged my nerves and ravaged my life to the point that I couldn't have relationships with other people. It was like every intimacy that I was having with other people was behind a piece of plastic. And it was supposed to be the most intimate, wonderful things that you're supposed to be having with other people. And then I would be walking outside in my life, and I happened to be a journalist at the time, and you know, people were having car accidents and getting killed, and murders are going on, and other things are happening in this world. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm spending my life stuck behind plastic, and just for fear of this this little disease. I need to stop that. And other people are going out and doing things like eating bad for you and smoking and drinking too much and taking drugs and doing all these other things that are ultimately going to give you probably a dozen other diseases, which, you know, what you could get. So at some point I just decided, you know, risk is part of life. And so you've got to choose what your risks are. And this is my personal choice. I respect other people for their personal choices.
And barebacking just feels fantastic, doesn't it?
You know what? There is nothing.
It's worth a little AIDS. I mean, if it comes to it, right?
You know, yeah. You can play the clip now. Yeah. You're gonna get AIDS, pervert. Come on. You know, it's like, you know, I'm a total perv about this. There's nothing like it when you're fucking a little hot little bottom boy and he starts begging for your cum, wanting a little bit of your DNA. You know, I want to get the little boy pregnant. I want to just bring
it on.
Do
you say stuff like that when you're having sex? Like, are you verbal? Do you say stuff like, I'm going to breed your boy pussy or man cunt or stuff like that?
Oh yeah, boy. I absolutely do. And the more that he begs for it, the more I want to shoot my load in his ass.
What's your favorite thing to say? Like, you know, you're my little cum dumpster or something like
that. Oh, you know, it's all about the energy that's coming off the boy that I'm fucking. It's all about what he's saying to me, begging for my load. You know, I have this little Latino boy I fuck every once in a while, and he's all like, you know, and I can't do a Latino accent, but he's all
try.
Like, you know,
please try.
He's like, you know, breed, I want your baby's poppy, you know.
And that's going to be a sound clip, by the way. You'll hear your voice on the show quite often now.
I love it, Tim. I definitely want to hear that. You know, it's like, I want your baby's poppy. Breed my little cunt poppy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, you know, Asian boys are also just incredibly hot.
Do
an
Asian accent for me. How do the Asians talk?
Oh, God, I can't do an Asian accent for you. But you know, they have the best asses. Asians have the best fucking asses.
What makes Asian asses so good?
Okay. Well, you know how their dicks are really small?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Okay. So if their dicks are small, think about the fact that because they have small dicks, they got to have small assholes.
Okay.
Because, you know, someone's going to be fucking their assholes, so they need small, tight assholes.
So you're talking about, like, anatomy-wise, since they were born with tiny dicks, they must have tiny assholes?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so they're just tighter, is what you're saying.
They're just incredibly tight. And they fucking love it. Ooh, daddy, beep, fuck me.
And even, you know, like you yourself said that, you know, you don't have a huge dick or as big as some guys. But to an Asian, oh, you're, you know, you white man are huge, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But, I mean, see, my talent has never been a huge dick. My talent has always been hardness. I get incredibly hard. I stay hard. And so I shoot my load and I stay inside. And so that way I can continue to fuck and the bottom can get off.
Mm, very nice. You're a very considerate top. You're concerned about getting them off as well.
Sometimes, if I like them.
Right. So you have two websites. I do want to mention this. The website where there are guides to glory holes and bathhouses is iblastinside.com.
That's my name. That's my name online, yeah.
Right. You can find, you're on Twitter, too, right, under iblastinside?
Yep.
Okay. And then what about your Bareback Brotherhood website? Where's that located?
That's at BBBH. Dot me.
Now, what I find, I haven't signed up for the website. I just saw the main page or whatever. But what I find really interesting is, much like Lance Armstrong in his Live Strong campaign, you also have rubber band wristband that you can purchase to support barebacking. What is that about? How did you come up with that?
Well, we're trying this out because, you know, there are a lot of
program is what you're saying.
It is a pilot programming, but one of the things that we did when we launched the Bareback Brotherhood is there are a lot of barebacking sites out there. You'd be surprised at how many there are. There's Bareback City, Bareback RT, Bareback.com. You know, there's just Bareback everything.
I mean, are those just porn sites or are they community sites?
They're hookup sites.
They're what? I'm sorry?
They're hookup sites.
Oh, hookup sites.
That
okay.
want to hook up and meet other people.
Is it really that hard to find someone who wants to get fucked? I mean, if you're a guy, guy, isn't it easy to find people to have sex with?
It's really easy to find people to have sex with. But here's the funny thing, and I challenge any gay guy to do this, or bi or curious or whatever you are, is you'll go on there and they'll have this safe sex only on there is what they'll say. And I do this all the time. And so, you know, because I am an out bareback advocate. I talk about barebacking on my site. That's what I do.
BB Pride, right?
You know, I'm all about it. Yeah. And so, I mean, like, I have other bareback bloggers like myself who are like me, but I don't have any sponsors.
To get sponsors for that type of website.
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not. There's lots of porn. This bareback porn out there. There's lots of porn companies that do it. And so
who's the biggest bareback porn producer?
Well, there's Treasure Island Media. There's Raw Fuck Club. That's with Dark Alley.
Sure.
There's SX Video. Those are just some of them.
The
that
big
are out
three.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the big three. I think that you'll find that they do really those three are really the big ones. And they do great work. But, you know, the thing that I think that you're that you'll find with everyone that says they're safe sex only is if you're a hot guy and you're trying to hook up with someone and they'll say, you know, let's meet. And I want to have safe sex. You say to them, I'm sorry, I only bareback. And they'll come back and say, cool, let's still get together. Because it's more it's kind of like, you know, it's politically correct to say that you have safe sex, but you can get with someone and, you know, like I've been with guys too, that like halfway through the fucking is like, rip the condom off. This is hurting me. I'd much rather bareback.
Right. So what you're saying is for all of you gay guys out there and you see someone potentially hot that says, I only have safe sex. Don't write them off yet. You can still potentially fuck them raw.
Absolutely.
You can still seed their hole.
Absolutely. Mm. And if you don't want to, you can stealth them.
What is stealthing them? I'm not familiar with that term.
Yeah, that's what I'm really controversial for is stealthing.
Oh, perfect.
Please explain.
Stealthing is either...
I'm sure some of my listeners already hate you. You might as well go the extra mile.
Oh, yeah. I'm already hated out there anyway.
Have you gotten any... Before we get into stealthing, have you gotten any death threats?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, from the gay community. Big time.
They're bitches.
Oh, they get so... I mean, I got one guy... It was so funny because he lives in this college town. He's 40-something years old, and he goes and he, like, barebacks college kids, but he's only like barebacks new college kids, but he thinks it's okay to do that because that's the only people he barebacks. But he thinks it's horrible what I do, which is if
bareback everyone
which is, and he wants to bash my brains in with a baseball bat. I mean he was very specific exactly how he wanted to kill me. Which is, you know, so nice. I really appreciate it when people want to kill me a specific kind of way. But his particular way, but what stealthing is exactly, but it's a little more
shady. Is it shady?
It's a little more shady than what I do at a adult bookstore. It's like breaking the condom so that the head of your cock comes through, and so that it feels like that the bottom, that the condom's still on, but you know, most of your dick is actually still.
But does that? I mean, but you still have the condom on your dick, so you can still feel the condom, right?
Right.
But it's all about just blowing your load inside of the dude.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that is pretty shady.
Marking your territory.
I guess so. You're an animal. I mean, after you stealth, do these guys, obviously they realize that there is cum in their ass and something has gone horribly wrong. Do you just say, oh my God, the condom must have broken?
Yeah, well, you can do that. Or there's lube out there. Straight cam lube is STR, the number 8. Cam, and this is a straight guy that does this lube. His name's Jeff, and it's lubricant that looks and feels like cum.
Oh, okay.
So you use that, and it's safe for use with condoms. So you use that, and
they can't tell the difference between the lube and the actual cum.
Oh, right.
Wow, that is pretty shady and fantastic. We'll have to look up that lube. I've used Dragon. Have you heard of the Dragon?
Yeah, that's where I first heard of it from you.
Of course.
And then Jeff started.
Tim Henson, I'm helping the bareback community.
Yeah, you were helping the bareback community, absolutely.
Great. There you go, freaks. Just some of my favorite moments from past interviews on DV. Stick with the program because, you know, there's more to come, no doubt. And if you'd like to hear more of these interviews, check out the Sideshow. Sign up right now. It's only $5 a month or $50 a year. SuperFreakSideshow.com. We'll see you back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Crystal meth loosens up your butthole.